depending on how much energy I have left.
Okay, well, I'm admitted.
You have a goal.
Exactly. Chav Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah, approximately 9 lines down, give or take 9 lines. Mishnah. Ein person al Shema. You're not allowed to be poreis on Shema. What does it mean to be person al Shema? I don't think that I have ever seen anybody be poreis al Shema. But Rashi says, what does it mean to be poreis al Shema? Minyan habala beis haknesses la'achar shakaru hatzibur es Shema. If a minyan comes to shul after the tzibur has already read Shema, omed echad, one of them stands up, the omer kaddish, and he says kaddish, ubarchu, and he says barchu, bracha rishona shebekriya Shema, he says yotzer or, and then he's done, and then he can say kriya Shema and he can continue on his own. That's the idea of parson al Shema. If you come late, the Mishnah will say, for all of these things, you need 10 people. As long as you have 10 people that are answering with you, you can be Poris al Shema. Now, there's a machlokes.
Shema means what? Taking a break from the Shema and getting involved with
Person, Rashi says, Person is a Lashon of Chatzi Davar, meaning that he's not doing the whole. He's not saying everything. He's not saying Baruch Hu and then the three brachos before Kriya Shema, Yotzer Or, and then Yotzer Ma'oros, and. I guess he's saying Yotzer Ma'oros, which is the end of Yotzer Or, but he's not saying Ava Rabba. And then he's saying Kriya Shema, and then he's not going through the whole, like a chazan would do.
So he's actually mamash missing out the second bracha, or is he going to say it later?
I don't know.
The Mishnah says he can't do this.
I don't know. No, you can't do this, but the commissioner's going to say you have to have 10 people to do it with.
I don't even know what the case is.
It seems like... Well, the case is one guy came to show late.
It was one guy or ten people came to show.
So, very good. So, there's machlokas and tosas as to whether it's one guy or whether it's... It's either one guy or up to seven people. Okay? Meaning, there's one day in Tosas that you need seven people who have not said Kriya Shema or done or davened anything in order to be able to do this. Seven who haven't done it, and then three along with three who have, right? Which is the concept generally we have that in order for the Shliach Tzibur to start Shemana Esrei, he needs to have seven. Where some people say six, and then the Tosa says some people say five, and then Tosa says some people say three, and then he says, and then the Talmidei of Rashi, quoting Rashi, say one. So as long as you have one guy, but the point is here, what's the case? It seems like guy has come to Shul extremely late. He woke up at 9:40 and he couldn't make the masas 9 o'clock, so he gets the masas at 9:50 and everybody's done. They're done. So what does he do? He says. Claps, and he says, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Yotzer Or Uvorech Choshech, Oseh Shalom Uvorech Hakol, Shema Yisrael. And that is considered having a minion. As long as nine other people are with him, he's considered having a minion.
So the schlep who came at the end of davening got in, chop the Baruch Hu, and then he went and davened by himself.
Exactly. It's essentially what's happening. Chabad.
Right.
Yeah.
Or come to my minion.
Basically, every misfalel in Chabad is Puri. That's the Indian.
That's going to be... You're going to have Chabad expressed.
Baruch Hashem that nobody listens to my shiur. Otherwise, I would be totally, I'd be written off on all these websites. Anyway, in person al Shemaz, the Mishnah will say you need to have 10 people for it. Ve'in over lefnei ateva, you cannot be a chazen. Ve'in osin es kapeyem, and you can't duchen. Vein Korin Batorah, and you can't read Kriya Satorah. Vein Maftirin Benavi, and you can't even do the Haftarah. Vein Osin Maimon Omoshav. You can't do Maimon Omoshav. What is a Maimon and Omoshav? Maimon Omoshav is that when, after they did the Hespedim on a dead person, they would accompany the mace to the Kever, and on the way to the Kever, they would do a Maimon and a Moshav, really a Moshav and a Maimon, meaning everybody would walk, and then one person would announce, Yashvu Yakarim Yashvu, and everybody would sit. And then he would say, Amdu Yakarim Amdu, and then people would stand, and they would go on their way. And then he would tell them again, Yashvu Yakarim Yashvu, and this is all to give kavod to the mace. This is the Indian of Maimon and Moshav.
In general, adopted or an Adar?
What?
Is this adopted or an Adar, or...
Wait a minute, it has nothing to do with Adar.
It's nothing to do with Adar. This is the halacha.
This is just the halacha. We're basically off of the Megillah. We're basically off of Megillah, and I don't know when we're going to return. Actually, I don't know if we're going to return, to be honest, because the next parak is B'nei At Yerushim Makrochav Shalir. I think we're off of... I think we finished the sugyas of...
Shavu Bonu.
But anyway... this is generally. I don't know if this concept of the Maimon and Moshav, I haven't really been to enough funerals to know if the Maimon and Moshav is done. Is
they,
done nowadays.
They do the whole leading and walking thing, stopping, saying Kaddish.
Oh, they do. They do. And
now,
then
is that this?
Might be. It might be this.
I don't know. 50 feet, stop, say Kaddish. Another 50 feet, stop, say Kaddish.
That could be a variation of this. This is like, seems like it's a little bit more formal, where you have somebody announcing, stop, you know, and I don't know if you have to have this this formality, where you have one guy standing up and telling everybody to stop, and or if it's just, maybe the Maimon and Moshav is like you say, that it's just, again, I haven't met very many people.
The term of Kaddish just like runs, they tell people what to do. I mean,
yeah, I don't know if this is, anyway, the Tanchumi Avelim, and the Tanchumi Avelim, and I'm not sure what's included. Rashi says, Tanchumi Avelim, Kishachodri Menachvaros, when they would return after the burial, Omdim Omenachme Mesa Avel, they would stand and do Nicham Avelim with the Avel, Ve'ein Shura Apusa Measarab. They would have a line, they would form a line, and you cannot have this line where the Avel would walk through. You cannot have that in less than 10 people.
Oh, that's what
the Gemara is going to learn.
Two,
oh, that's what you were referring
that's
to?
Make two lines.
So, what?
Make two,
I guess two lines, and then he would walk, I guess. I don't
know. But that's
not
what Rashi is describing.
I'm not a Bucky, and he said, what?
Rashi's not describing what we do.
We do two lines?
Yeah. And the,
so,
and the Avelim walking between them.
Uh-huh. Rashi seems to say, right. Rashi doesn't say anything about the Ein Shura plus Mesar. Right. I don't know. You have to learn Misachah Sanhedrin. You have to look that, learn that sugya in Sanhedrin to see exactly how they understand this line. But this is the concept of Tanchumi Avelim. He's not talking about Hamakim Menachem Eschen that we say in the Avelus process. And that's not it.
I had a very big Talmud Chacham tell me, really, the only people that learn these luchas are if you're a posek, or once Chas V'Shalom you become a novel. You have
right.
to learn.
That's right.
But like Stam, people don't learn these anymore.
Right, they don't learn these anymore. It's true. I mean, everybody's grabbing the yard school off the shelf when they're in Avelus, because everybody's like, nobody knows. Nobody understands how the Kaddishim work, and you know which Kaddish to say, you know, and who has Kedimus when it comes to you know, Chazanim, and I mean, all these things are all like brand new, and nobody learns them until such time. But anyway, we learned whatever. I went to a kollel one summer after yeshiva, and they did Hilchos Avelus. They were learning Hilchos Avelus.
So you did?
Yeah, I wasn't really part of that kollel. I was really on my own. But the kollel was learning. It was Rav Willig.
Mordechai
from New York. Mordechai Willig was giving
it. Must have been a pretty besimpeted chevron.
Yeah, oh yeah, we were having a blast. Yeah, we were. It was nonstop Man. Jokes going yeah, on.
Did you make us see him at the when you finished?
Make us see him. Yeah. Well, we were going to be learning Moed Katan afterwards, which is a big,
is that
a shaila. That's the next mesechta. It's a shaila whether you should learn Moed Katan. A lot of people, a lot of rabbanim hold that you should skip Moed Katan. You should not learn Moed Katan because Moed Katan is Hilchos Avelus, and it's a bad simon. To be learning Avelus.
I thought that's only part of Moed Katan. Isn't part of it?
A good part of it. A part of it is also in Chol HaMoed.
Maybe we should skip it.
What?
Well, that was the case.
I think it's part of the program. I would ask Rav Milanowitz, but I'm sure he'll tell us to continue. But
Daf Yomi does it.
Daf Yomi.
What? Right, Daf Yomi, you do it. So there would be no reason why we would skip it. But when I was learning with somebody else, and we had a shy list of what our next Masechta would be, we asked Rabbi Hauer, who was the Rav of our shul in Baltimore, he said you should not do Moed Katan.
But what's after that?
After Moed Katan, it's Chagiga, but whatever. At any rate, we're probably going to see Moed Katan. And I sure hope that we will, because I just got you that.
Thank you.
Sure, pleasure.
I saw it.
It's no problem, because we're not a very happy group anyway.
Exactly. So it's very fitting.
Yes.
Anyway, we continue. Ubirchas Chasanim, as we know, Ubirchas Chas, Sheva Brachos. Ve'ei Mezamnim B'Shem. You cannot say Nevarach Lelokeinu She'achal Mishalo. Kachos Me'asara. All these things cannot be done if you have less than 10 people. Ubekarkos, and if you're going to be poled karka that you were makdish to the bedek abayis, you were makdish to the Beis HaMikdash, if you want to be poled it, you have to be poled it with no less than 10 people with Tisha the Kohen. You have to have 9 people and a Kohen. The Gemara will learn why do you need one Kohen, and the Gemara will later question why don't you need more Kohen. But at any rate, you have to have 9 regular Yisraelim and one Kohen. Adam kayotze bahen, and if you want to be pode a man, if you want to be pode a person from Hektish, then it's also, you need 9 and a Kohen. And the Gemara is going to ask that a man never becomes Hektish. You can't be Makdish yourself.
Pode a person from Hektish.
What?
Pode a person from Hektish.
Yeah.
Meaning that a person wants, instead of the putting something onto money and bringing it up.
Oh, that the Gemara is going to ask. The Gemara is going to ask a question. What's the hechatinsel? What's the case? I can't be makdish you. I can't be makdish myself to. No such thing as being makdish a man to hechatish.
Hechatish means you're offering up whatever you're offering up to the base of mikdash.
Right. So I can't offer myself up to the base of mikdash. You can't do that. So the Gemara is going to ask. There's no kiddush anyway. What do you mean? You can't be polder with less a man less than 10. You can't be makdish less than 10. So you can't be makdish at all. So the Gemara is going to ask that. Don't worry. Hold on to your hats. We're going to learn all these things today. Minahani mili. From where do we know this concept that you need to have 10 people? Amar Rav Chiya bar Abraham Rabbi Yochanan. The Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'nikdashti, I will become kadosh, says Hashem, B'soch B'nei Yisrael. Within the midst of B'nei Yisrael, Kol Dar Shebekdusha, anything that has kedusha value, lo yehe pachas me'asara, cannot be less than 10. So the Gemara learns from the pasuk of the Dashi Besoch Bnei Yisrael that it must be 10. The Gemara asks immediately, what? How does this pasuk prove anything about 10?
My kedusha cannot anything is
less than 10. Based on the pasuk in Dashi Besoch Bnei Yisrael. A davar shel kedusha cannot be less than 10. So the Gemara asked, "My mashma, how is that pasuk mashma that you need 10? It doesn't say anything about 10." So the Tani Rabbi Chiya learned, "Asya toch toch." We got a gzeir shava of toch toch. Ksiv hacha. It says over here, "V'nikdashti besoch bnei Yisrael." Uksiv hasam, and it says when it comes to Korach, "Ki badalu mitoch ha'eda." You should separate yourself. Separate yourself from the midst of this congregation, this Eda. Ma'asya Eda Eda. And I have another Xerishava of Eda Eda, the Chsiv Hasam. It says, Ad Masai La Eda Hara Zos. This is talking about the spies, the Meraglim. How long are these, this Eda, how long is this Eda going to be bad? Malahala Nasara, just like those were 10. We know the spies were 10 because there were 12 total sent, and Yoshua and Kalev were not amongst them. So that Eda was 10, therefore Afkanasara, therefore the Eda by Korach is 10, and since it says Besoch in Korach, and it says Besoch, Benekdashti Besoch Ben Israel, so we learn out from this very lengthy Xerashava circus act that you need to have a davar shel kedusha cannot be less than 10.
In other words, if you're learning Torah, it's not with less than a chabur of 10 people, doesn't have the din of a davar shel kedusha.
It doesn't have the din of a davar shel kedusha that you can, you know, that you can invoke God's name, for example. It's still kadosh, but it's not.
Oh, that's the definition of Torah, that you have to sing Shem Hashem.
I mean, right, all of these things, you know, person al shema, over and lifnei atev, all these things you're invoking Hashem's name. So
whenever we say a bracha, we invoke Hashem's name.
That's true. That's a bracha biyachid, but a bracha barabim you couldn't necessarily do. Like for example, Asher b'charbanim mikalo amim, we can't lay in the Torah without less than 10 because you're invoking Hashem's name in a tzibur.
Only to a tzibur inyan.
In a tzibur, right? Exactly. It's
no,
gotta
be. Tzibur is 10.
That's yes, exactly. You can technically take out a sefer Torah and read the sefer Torah. You know, you can do that. Technically, but you cannot say Asher b'charbanim. You cannot invoke Hashem's name in a tzibur dikka setting.
Then why don't we see that done?
Do what done?
People take out the Sefer Torah and read, like say if there's 8 or 9, and just not make brachas.
No, I don't know. I don't know why people. I don't know if that's.
That's the point. They're not saying the bracha.
This was right, actually relevant today upstairs.
I don't know.
There was no meaning.
I don't know what the value. What's the value of that?
No, because they're being yotzei kriyas haTorah, they're just not being yotzei any brachos. You can be.
No, there's no. But kriyas haTorah is a din ba'asara. It has to be done by 10. Okay. Not yotzei kriyas haTorah if you learn.
If you don't 10 people, there's no Indian
of kriyas haTorah.
But you're being mekari to the Torah, to the actual sefer. Isn't there something to that?
Still less than that.
But it's not Kriyas HaTorah.
But in terms of the Megillah and other Megillahs that we read, you can bidi abidi with biyachu.
Yes.
But when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, it has to be with Torah.
Exactly. Azoy zok de gemore. Anyway, ve'ein osin maimon omosho pachas me'asara, like we said, where the person calls out, amdu yakarim amdu, and yoshua yakarim yoshua. Why do you need 10 people? Kevin the boy lememar, imdu yakarim amodu. since the person needs to say, stand, O precious ones, O special ones, stand, shavu yukarim shavu, sit, O special ones, sit, to batur me'asara lav arach aro. It is inappropriate to invoke or to call this less than a tzibor yikarim if you don't have 10. You can't use the term yikarim. Rashi says, why? Because if you use the term of yikarim for less than 10, then what special name, what special attribute have you reserved then for a tzibor of 10? In other words, that's the highest, loftiest kavod that you can give to a person, is to call him a yakar, is to call him a special person. And if you're going to invoke that term for a tzibor less than 10, then you're not leaving anything over for a tzibor of more than 10. You're saying that they're irrelevant. So it's not appropriate to have this maimon amoshav if you have less than 10 people. Says the Gemara.
What is this birkas avelim? What is it anyway?
What is what?
The birkas avelim.
This is the maimon amoshav. When they finished the hespedim and they're bringing the mace to the kever, so then they would have a maimon amoshav. People would walk and then sit and then stand and then walk and then sit and then stand. It was a way of giving kavod, stretching the thing out, I think, and giving kavod.
It sounds like actions, but it's not an actual bracha. So the birkas avelim is not actually bracha.
It's not a bracha.
And it's
not birkas avelim. This is a maimon amoshav. You're confusing them. This is a maimon amoshav, and this is not you're not invoking Hashem's name, but you have somebody calling out shavu yikarim shavu. So it's got to be done with 10 people.
How would this stem with benching? Because benching, when we make a zimin, and we invoke Hashem's name.
We do, but we don't say Elokeinu. That's true. You're right. We do say Hashem's name, but we don't say Elokeinu. There's something.
Elokeinu is with 10, right?
Yeah, Elokeinu has to be with 10. That's what the Gemara is going to say now. It's going to say in a few lines, actually. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ein omer birchas avelim or birchas chasanim."
That's what I was asking on.
My birchas avelim. What is this birchas avelim? The birchas avelim is not hamakom enachem eschem. The birchas avelim is birchas rechava. It's the bracha that's made on the streets after the burial, when the avel is coming back onto the streets from the burial and he's walking back to his home. They form a line, or maybe two lines, and the avel walks in between them and they give him a special bracha, and that cannot be done by less than 10. The Amr of Yitzchak, Amr of Yochanan, birchas avelim ba'asara. The birchas avelim has to be done by 10. The in avelim in a minion, and the avelim cannot be included in the minion. So you have to have somebody other than the avelim, because if you're being mevarich the avel, so then he is excluded from the tzibor that's giving the bracha. So the tzibor that's giving the bracha has to be 10. He's not included in that. However, birchas chasanim basar v'chasar min aminyan. Birchas chasanim has to be done by 10, and the chasanim are joining in the simcha, so they are considered part of that minyan. Ve'ei mezamnen al amazon b'shem pachos me'asara. You cannot... You cannot make a zimun b'shem, which we mean b'shemu malchus. B'shem is b'shemu malchus of Hashem Elokeinu. Pachas me'asara. Why? Because kevin the boy lemeimer nevarach lelokeinu. If you want to say nevarach lelokeinu, batzu me'asara lava orach ara. It is inappropriate to invoke Hashem Elokeinu, the full shem umalchus, with less than 10 people. And v'hakarkos tisha v'koin v'adam kayotzi bahen. And when it comes to being podek karka, if a person, for example, made his land kadosh and now he wants to redeem it, how does he redeem it? He redeems it with, he has to have 9 people standing there and 1 kohen. That's a total of 10. And Adam is included in them. Minahani Mili, how do we know this concept of having 9 Yisraelim and 1 Kohen? Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, Asar Kohanim Ksuvim Beparsha. In the Parsha of being of Arkos, of value of valuations, person values his land or his property to the Mikdash. In that entire Parsha, the term Kohen is listed 10 times. So, Asara Kohanim Ksuvim Baparsha, Chad Lugufei, the first time it's written is to teach you that it has to be a Kohen. V'idach, and the other times, Havi Miut Achar Miut. It is a Miut Achar Miut, meaning that the first time that it mentions the Kohen, so it's telling you a Kohen and not a Yisrael. The second time that it mentions a Kohen, Lechora, it shouldn't have to mention Kohen at all, because if it just said that you need a person, I would know that it's a Kohen, because it already said the first time it's a Kohen. So I would know it's a Kohen. Why again does the Torah have to emphasize Kohen? So paradoxically, we learn a concept of miut achar miut. If you have an exclusion followed by another exclusion, the second exclusion, meaning the second Kohen, which is excluding everybody else, is actually an inclusion. It's actually coming to include other people. So you have miut achar miut, ve'en miut achar miut ela l'rabos. So you have an exclusion after an exclusion, which is actually teaching you that it's coming to include. Because again,
include what? How many?
It's coming to include Yisraelim. The first time the Torah said you need a Kohen, I understand. It said you need a Kohen to teach you that you can't have Yisrael. Yeah. But why does it keep saying Kohen? It's got to be a Kohen. It's got to be a Kohen. The fact that it's saying Kohen, Kohen, Kohen is actually paradoxically teaching you that it's a Yisrael that it's makbid on, meaning that it could just be a Yisrael.
I mean, the second Kohen is coming to teach you the din of 9 Yisraelim?
Yes, exactly. No, sorry. The second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth are coming to teach you 9 Yisraelim.
And this is the case of when you're redeeming the land?
This is the case where you're redeeming land. If you're redeeming land, you need 9 Yisraelim and 1 Kohen. Why? Because the first Kohen is a exclusion, coming to exclude Yisraelim, and the second, third, and all the way until the tenth are inclusions.
The Pasukim say Kohen 10 times.
Indeed.
So you might have thought, if it wasn't for this rule, that it would have to be a minion of Kohanim.
Correct. But since you have this rule of Ein Miut Achar Miut Ela L'Rabos, it's coming to teach you that the second all the way to the tenth are actually inclusions.
And this is the case when you get land in Israel from a goy, you're redeeming it?
No, this is when a person, I think this is a case where a person is makdish his own karka, and now he has regrets and he wants to be podit. So he comes back to Hekdish and he says, what can I do to get my property back? And they say, well, the value of the property is XYZ, but we need a formal kinyan going on here. And that part of the kinyan is having 9 Yisraelim and a Kohen present. Okay? That's the.
He wants to take back what he.
He wants to take back what he offered up originally. Okay.
Could it still be 10 Kohanim?
Yeah. It's not coming to exclude Kohen. It's coming to say that you can use even a Yisrael for sure. You can. That's for sure. Okay. So now the Gemara asks an interesting question. Tisha Yisraelim ve'ema, says the Gemara, ve'ema chamisha Kohanim ve'chamisha Yisraelim. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Let's put this all together. The first Kohen was coming to teach you an exclusion, meaning it's a Kohen Dafka and not a Yisroel. The second one is a Miut Achar Miut, which is actually a Riboy. It's an inclusion. So now says the Gemara, okay, if the second one is an inclusion, then you can't tell me that the third one is a Miut Achar Miut. It's a Miut Achar Riboy, because the second one was actually an inclusion. So you have an exclusion, then an inclusion, and then the third one is no longer an exclusion followed by an exclusion. It's an exclusion followed by an inclusion.
What's the third or fourth?
So the third should be an exclusion, and the fourth would be an inclusion. So in other words, the Gemara is saying, every other Kohen listed in the Pasuk should be
a Kohen.
A Kohen. And the other one, the oddball, is the inclusion, coming to include Yisrael. So I should say that's a 5 and 5, not a 9 and 1. Because again, number 1 is going to be the exclusion. Number 2 will be the inclusion. Ah, so now you're telling me number 2 is an inclusion, then you can't tell me that number 3 is a miut achar miut, because it's a miut achar the riboy, which is the inclusion. So then the 3 is an exclusion. So now number 4 would be a miut achar miut and would be a riboy. So 4 would be an inclusion. So in other words, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9 would be Kohanim. That would be an exclusion. And 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 would be a inclusion.
Meaning the suggestion is that we need 5 and 5?
Right. Suggestion of the Gemara is we should have 5 and 5, where it says Kasha. You're right. It's a great Kasha. I don't know the answer is. I don't even know what the halacha is.
I'm sure there
But
I'm sure there is an answer.
I'm sure that there is an answer. And someone is looking up in the Rambam. Rambam seems to say like the Mishnah for some odd reason. Even though the Gemara does conclude, it seems to conclude It seems to conclude as a kasha. But as I don't know if I mentioned this before, I did mention it in my chavrusa in the morning, that Reb Chaim Kanievsky writes in one of his svarim, he has like a sefer on Kloli Hashas, and he writes that when the Gemara concludes with kasha, then it there's a teretz for it. We don't know the teretz, but there is a teretz.
Meaning what?
As opposed to when the Gemara ends with tiyufta. The Gemara ends with tiyufta, then it's done.
Tiyufta is Eliyahu Hanavi, but kasha we can.
Tiyufta would be you have a kasha, and therefore the halacha is like the kasha. But if you just say kasha at the end, then the halacha is not necessarily like the kasha, and it could be like the Mishnah.
What do you mean the halacha is like the kasha? You have two opinions. Which opinion is it like in the kasha?
So he says if the Gemara ends saying kasha, then the Gemara means to say that, or can mean to say that the first opinion is right. Meaning the Mishnah's opinion. If you end with Tiyufta, then it's knocking off the first opinion. And it's saying, you're right, this is a kasha that is legendary, and therefore we are going to incorporate it into halacha. But anyway...
But when it's a kasha, is it left for the Rishonim to answer, or it still has like the same practical...
Yeah, it's still... But, right, it still begs for a teretz. It still begs for a teretz. But what it's saying is... That there's a teretz to be had, and therefore,
but is it had, or is it we just leave it as like, okay, not for this generation, or is it a teretz that's answered, or
it's an answer that can't, you can find an answer, yes, you can find an answer. Uh-huh. It's not answered in the Gemara itself, but there is an answer to be had, and that if you know Shas as well as Rav Chaim Kanievsky, you'd probably be able to answer it.
I don't want people to know.
Right, exactly. No. Sorry, we don't want to give away exactly on Nivus. Okay. So we say also, if a man wants to redeem himself from Hekdesh, so the Gemara says, what? Adam mikadosh? A man never becomes kadosh to begin with. How can he redeem himself? So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Abahu, no, that's not what we're talking about. We're not saying where David Lechter says, I am going to be kadosh to the base of Mikdash, Blined or whatever. I'm not really doing that. But anyway, we're not really doing that.
Well,
rather...
Actually, in the case of taking on a Nazarite, it's kind of like a quasi-type thing, right?
In a way, you're not being maxing yourself to the Mikdash, but you are making, you're heightening your own level of Kedusha. Yeah, but you're not making yourself a Hektish.
But you can't pull yourself out of that one, though.
What?
You can't pull yourself out of
that. No, that one you can't. That one you can't pull yourself out of. That one you gotta do 30 days. I'm Rabbi Abo, but Omer Dmei Alai. It's where a guy says, he's not saying I myself am Hektish. He's saying my value is Hektish. That's an Erech. He's evaluating himself and saying my value is Hektish. Desanya, because we have a Brisa that says, Ha'omer Dmei Alai, if a person says my value is Hektish, so how do we evaluate him? Shamin Asoke Eved. We evaluate him like an Eved, which is probably like the lowest common denominator, basically. We take him like an Eved, which is worth like 30 slime or something like that.
Which parsha is that? That's the parsha that goes through all like the men and the women and the kids and the over this age and.
That's Erech. I don't think.
What parsha is this? I don't know what parsha this is in. What parsha is this in? No? Mark's usually very good at this. Where is this? Where is this? Is this somewhere in Vayikra? It's somewhere in Vayikra. I want to say. Where is this? Where is the Erech business?
Erech
one second.
Erech is in Bechukosai, I think.
Oh, it's in Bechukosai. Yeah, it's in Bechukosai, yeah? Really? It's in Bechukosai.
Should I grab a...
What? What do you got? Vayikra what? Vayikra what?
Chav Zion.
Maybe Taka is right. Maybe Taka is in Bechukosai. Because we have Mitzora, Achrimos, Kedoshim. Maybe it's in Emor.
That's what this is talking about, though.
I wonder. Chav Zion. What do you? What pasuk is this? Chav Zion. Chav Gimel. Interesting. Okay, we'll have to see. We can see yet after the shiur. I don't want to trouble anyone to get up. But anyway, so if a person does that, then we value him like an eved. Like an Eved Kanani.
That's what Oscar says.
What is it? Eved Ivri?
Eved Ivri.
Eved Ivri?
Right.
Okay.
So the young two.
Ladas. Ladas Rabbeinu Chanana. Oshamanel so kamo Eved She'eno Yehudi. Eved Kanani. Ulamitosvos Khan says it's an Eved Ivri. Says Machlokes Rishonim as to whether it's an Eved Ivri or Eved Kanani. Okay. But Eved is Kishla Karkos, and we know that an Eved is compared to karka, to land. You should inherit them, them being the Eved.
That's clear talking about Eved Kanani.
What?
That's talking about Eved Kanani.
That is talking about Eved Kanani, yes. You're right. V'isnachaltim osam levnechem achareichem, definitely. L'reshes achuzah la'olam bahem ta'avodu is definitely Eved Kanani. So we see, yeah, I don't know, it's very interesting. So we see from there that an Eved Kanani can be valued, and therefore a person who valuates himself is valuing himself like an Eved, and therefore if a person wants to redeem himself or redeem his own value from Hekdish, he would then have to have 9 and 1. What's the case though of if you're just going to say that he's not putting himself up as Hekdish. He's just saying my value. He's saying my value is worth for Hekdish. So then what's he being poded?
Well, the monetary equivalent, right?
But he's being Makdish his monetary equivalent. Right. So in order to be poda himself, what's he being poda?
In other words, let's say his monetary equivalent is $100 and he says I want the $100 back, he has to poda that back, right?
He's saying I don't want to give the $100.
In retrospect, you realize he made a mistake.
That's a pot to himself.
To pay $100 in order to not have to pay $100.
Right, right. But he's saying, I think that he's right. He's trying to be pot to himself. I think he's trying to pot to himself. Where did I see this?
How can you do that?
In front of 9 and 1, you can pot to yourself. Where is this? Look at the Bach. The Bach. Where is this Bach going on? There's a bays somewhere here, but the Bach says, if you look at Va'adam Kayotze Bahen, if you look at Rashi in the Mishnah, Va'adam Kayotze Bahen, Imba Liftos Miyad Hekdish, a person wants to be pulled to himself from Hekdish. So the Bach says in the bays, he says it's not Liftos, Imba Liftor Atzma. He wants to potter himself Miyad Hekdish. So in other words, he initially put himself his own value up.
I mean, he pledged it, but he didn't
he
pay it.
He pledged it, but he didn't pay it. Now he wants to potter himself.
Kind of like we do with the Mishabarics.
Exactly. I think that's what's going on.
That's always a belief.
All right, let's see the Mishnah. Why not? We have a shtickle time, and I'm not going to sleep tonight anyway, so who cares? Hakore b'tor lo yivchos m'shosh p'sukim. This one's so easy, you could have shut your Gemara and still known it. This Mishnah is so easy. Hakore b'tor lo yivchos m'shosh p'sukim. A person who reads the Torah cannot read less than 3 psukim. As we know, every aliyah must be no less than 3 psukim long. If you have a translator, which we don't have nowadays, but back then they did, you cannot read the Torah more than one pasuk at a time. You must allow the translator to do his translation and then go the next pasuk. Ubanavi shlosha, however, when it comes to Navi, because we're not as concerned about the Maturgan making a mistake with Navi, because the implications are far less heavy. So, with the Navi, we allow you to go 3 psukim and let the Maturgaman figure out those 3 psukim and translate them. Hayushloshtan sholosh parshios. If the 3 psukim are 3 separate parshios, the Gemara is going to say, when do you ever have 3 psukim in Navi that are 3 completely separate parshios? Meaning psukas and stumas, like they're separated by spaces. When do you ever have that? The Gemara is going to come up with one case where there is such a thing. If that happens, Koran Echad Echad, then we make the Maturgaman read one at a time. We make the Bal Kore stop for every Pasuk because it's a new Indian, it's a new Parsha. So then we make him stop and the Maturgaman does his thing. Medalgim B'Navi Ve'Medalgim B'Toru. When it comes to Navi, you can skip from one Navi to the next, as we often do when we're reading the Haftarah. But you can't do that in Torah. You can't do that in Kriyas HaTorah. You cannot skip. The Gemara is going to ask on that and say, no, we do that. In Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol who's reading from Achrei Mos, he skips. So the Gemara is going to ask on that. Wait, but the Mishnah over here says,
I didn't catch what you said there. Could you repeat that?
About Mishnah, what you said, personal Shema.
Whatever
you cannot be pores of. What do you want me to? What do you want me to repeat?
No, what you just said right now.
But right now, what I just said. What did I just say? I'm personal Shema.
What?
What did I just say?
Something about Achrei Mos and the way something was repeated or...
The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to skip in the Torah, meaning when you're Bal Kori, you're not allowed to skip. Yeah? The Gemara is going to ask, but we see there is a case where the Kohen Gadol, during Yom Kippur, when he's reading the Parsha, when he's reading the Torah, he does skip. So how can he skip if the Mishnah is saying that he cannot skip? Okay? I'm just giving you a preview.
Within one Aliyah or within the entire Kriyas Torah?
Within the entire Kriyas Torah.
Aren't there times we do that? like in Haftorahs or like maybe like
that's different.
The kriya of
yeah.
Of
but in the middle of a kriya, in the middle of an aliyah, the Kohen Gadol actually in the middle of reading he just skips.
Uh huh.
Okay. So the Gemara is going to ask on that. The Mishnah says you can't do that. But anyway, don't worry about it right now. When it comes to Navi, how far can you skip? You're saying that you can skip a Navi. How much can you skip? You cannot skip so far in Navi that you're reading once at in Yehoshua, and then you're going to skip all the way to Yeshayahu, and you have to scroll the Navi all the way down to Yeshayahu.
Don't they have separate klafim like we do? For
yes, that's true. But the point is that you can only skip so much that it would be the amount of time that the Meturgaman would be translating the one pasuk that you just read. So that only gives you about 10 seconds.
Is the Meturgaman reading a Targum, or is he just like, does he just like know it like it's a Masorah?
He just knows it like it's a Masorah.
Oh, so you have the Baal Kori.
The Yerushalmi discusses a case where the Meturgaman was actually reading from the actual thing. But he knows it.
Next
to the Baal Kori, he's basically the Gabbai, and he's giving a translation to the Am, who don't know anything. Nowadays, we know everything, so we don't need a Meturgaman.
Don't tell him.
Why we stop the Meturgaman?
Shkaya, Baruch Haba, welcome back.
I think that we're no longer considered Amei Aretz.
Shabbat Shalom.
Baruch Hashem.
All two.
We're not.
Yeah, I think that we're more learned. We're more learned nowadays than they were back then. Like the Amei Haaretz were, they just worked all day, and you know you had some people learning, but basically you had Amei Haaretz in the fields who didn't really know anything, and you know, b'chora. Nowadays we're everybody learns Daf Yomi, so we're all big Talmidei Chachamim.
We all learn Daf Yomi. Okay, so like we get. But my Lashon Kodesh isn't so good. And when I hear Kriya Torah, most specifically, I don't understand.
Okay, I don't know the answer. A good question would be, when did they stop the Meturgaman?
Right.
And why did they stop in the Meturgaman? My understanding is that they stopped it because there was a point in time where more Hamon Am were actually learning. Were actually, you know, involved in learning, and therefore it became less critical.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. I don't know exactly when this happened, and I don't know exactly why this happened.
Yeah, no clue as to why not. Like the across here.
I don't have a clue. This would be a good Rav Milanowitz question. When did they stop the Meturgaman, and why did they stop the Meturgaman? If you ask Rav Milanowitz,
you don't think it was because people said, "Oh, it's taking too long. I want to go home for
school
already."
No, I don't think so.
Okay,
I don't think so because I think back then they had the challenge was just as good nowadays as it is back then. So I don't think people are that concerned about getting home any quicker now than they were back then. I'm saying the challenge was just as good back then as it is now. Then there'd be no reason why people nowadays were want to get home quicker. Okay, it's all within the challenge. All that has everything to do with the challenge. Regarding your question about
thank
the Kohen Kadol,
yeah,
sure, pleasure. Yeah. Regarding this, I want you to take the 90 shekels whenever you pay it and give it to Tzedakah.
No,
give it to Tzedakah.
I shouldn't pay you?
No, I want to give it. Because whenever I go to America, there's never any people collecting. There's never, you know, like, for I go for a shachris, I give away a dollar or two.
Uh-huh.
Come here, you give a lot of tzedakah, because there's always people collecting. So I always feel bad when I'm in America, like there really isn't tzedakah to give.
Uh-huh.
There's so few. So I bought this for you in America, and I thought to myself as I did it, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna tell David to give it to tzedakah, because I, like, for the tzedakah that I missed out giving when I was in America that I would have given here.
I mean, do you want me to give it to one person or just like?
You can give it to the push. I don't care where you give it.
Okay.
You could just take the 90 shekels and put it in
okay.
Beis Tefillah. I don't care.
Okay. But if I give it to you,
I don't care. Don't give it to some Christian.
Or is huh?
Don't give it to some Christian.
Is there a specific tzedakah that you
no,
like?
No. I don't care. Whatever. Ma shana'im lacha.
Okay.
And therefore, I don't care when you do it.
Okay.
As long as it's done.
Okay.
And I'm not going to ask you. I'm just going to assume it's done. You understand? So I don't care if it's this week or next week or the week after. I don't care when you come up with the cash. You pay. You'll pay it.
Okay.
And I'm not.
Is that because of the comment I made, or were you gonna?
No,
say
I was. When I bought it, I said I had in mind. I want this.
What did we do? What happened last time when you got me? Which one, McGill or Atanas? I can't remember. You got me McGill. I think. Okay.
One of them you already had. You had Megillah. I got you Tynus.
You got me Tynus?
I got you Tynus. You told me, don't get give Megillah because I have Megillah at home.
It wasn't the other way around. Okay.
I think it wasn't. Was
Tynus wasn't being given for free, right? It was, I paid you, right? When you got me Tynus, it wasn't like a free copy that was lying, right? No, I definitely paid it.
One of them you paid me.
There was only one previously. From you.
From me. Yeah, I think that was...
Rabbi Milinowitz gave me... What was after Beitzah? Rosh Hashanah.
He gave me
Rosh Hashanah.
I bought for you Tynus. And you paid for me. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you paid. It was dirt cheap.
Okay.
It was $10. I think it was something like that.
Yeah, why was it so cheap?
It was sitting around in the Aguda in Baltimore, and they have oftentimes they have like these, like, that people use, like, they use it for like a week or a month, and they're like, I don't need this anymore, and they stick it in the drawer and they sell it for $10.
Okay. But you're not saving me money here. I mean, you saved me money that it was 90 shekels instead of 200 and something. I mean, you're not saving me that I'm not paying you, because I'm going to increase whatever tzedakah I would normally give.
Exactly. It happened to me. This is on sale also, because a guy was selling away his shas. He had two shas. So he was selling this one because he had the pocket ones that he wanted to keep. So he was selling this one.
That's how I got something. Oh, I got a bunch of Gemaras through Moshe. You know Moshe Steinberg? Who, by the way, he's going to be has gotten or is going to very shortly be getting a bone marrow transplant. Yeah, there's a whole tale. There's a whole tale on this. What?
Very quickly, because I have to go, but how's your wife doing?
She did not really get her hearing back in her left ear.
What about her right ear?
Her right ear came back basically under normal medical channels. That was before the hospitalization.
So how is her hearing in total?
It depends which side you talk on, and she's probably going to need a hearing.
Like, I was talking to you, would she hear me? Or no?
Like this?
Yeah.
Probably. But if you're too soft, she might not hear it.
Right.
And if you're too loud, it's going to hurt her because the ear that doesn't hear gets pain.
How do you talk to her?
The best I can, because my voice projects. And I'm accused of yelling when I'm not yelling. All the time.
All right, so hopefully you come back with something.
It's possible. I don't think it's something that's anticipated. And also, I don't know that this will help. She was referred by an outside person to a private subspecialist that the lead insurance will like partially cover. And for the price they reduced it to, it's not cheap, but we figured for that price, you know what, it's worth a shot to try. It's her hearing.
So he can help him. He doesn't know.
Hasn't seen her in a week.
It's not a serious thing.
I have no idea.
All right.
Thank you.